I'd like to thank the organizers for putting up this wonderful event and for asking me to speak. Just one little confession. I've written up enough notes to last 20 minutes, and then I've shaved and shaved and shaved. I'm going to speed read into this, and I wish you all the best in following my gist. I make no distinction between the future of Jerusalem and that of the West Bank, or Gaza, or Haifa, or Yaffa, or Akka, etc. It is all Palestine. What is taking place in terms of the ethnic cleansing of Palestine is a mere continuation of the Nakba, a conveyor belt of war crimes snaking around the obsolete Oslo legacy, the accords of which have proved to be nothing short of the formaldehyde keeping the status quo. With America's peace brokering image shattered to smithereens and the Zionization of some Arab countries such as Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Jordan, and Egypt, our assistance and support must then come through international law, and the EU is very well placed to impose and implement this. Since Trump's decision to move the embassy to Jerusalem, settlement building has taken on unprecedented speed. Those concrete blocks are rising at even more dizzying, head-spinning rate of knots, while all and sundry sit twiddling their thumbs. With that wanton act of idiocy, Israel was given a carte blanche to do exactly as it pleases. The mask has fallen. That's the only thing we can thank Trump for. We now know the beast we are dealing with, and that beast should have absolutely nothing to do with the process that will lead to our liberation. So we turn to the European Union for support and solidarity in liberating ourselves. On that basis, I shall hereby refer to it as the middleman. But before we can do that, the middleman needs to fulfill certain criteria. He has to stop trading with the occupying force, cut the countless lucrative trade deals, especially the arms trade, that facilitates our strangulation and occupation. The middleman has to stop paper shuffling by using words like slammed, criticized, disapproved of, in reference to Israel's plethora of crimes. Take, for example, the UN-funded and constructed schools, which Israel not so long ago decided to demolish. Israel didn't even get so much as a slap on the wrist when it should have had sanctions slapped on its very head. The middleman has to stop talking about the Swiss cheese scenario when they refer to the two-state idea. To even suggest these bantustans are good enough for us is well beneath contempt. And should that middleman carry on promoting and flogging that dead horse, it is his full responsibility and duty to demonstrate exactly how that model is to materialize. That should set the cat among the pigeons. The two-state delusion is nothing short of Nakba denial. And when you think that Holocaust denial is illegal in some countries and Nakba denial is de rigueur, I don't think so. Without acknowledging our tragedy, no healing can ever take place. The middleman needs to immediately stop the visa waiver program for settlers that emerge out of those illegal settlements. Settlements have been deemed illegal, yet the squatters that inhabit them can travel to Europe unencumbered, unfettered, visas waived, when Palestinians cannot themselves be allowed to return back home. The list goes on. And before we can regard the European Union as a friend, it needs to prove to us Palestinians that it is worthy of being regarded as such. Israel has made sure that the PA is thoroughly corrupted and acts at its right-hand man. It's worth noting that the PA is a total product of Oslo, and as such needs to be totally dismantled and nullified. It is today's equivalent of capos, self-interested quislings, gophers that carry out Israel's criminal bidding and acts against the well-being of its own people. We are not children of a lesser God. Enough labeling us as terrorists. Like every other people on earth, we have the fully fledged God-given right to defend ourselves and resist. The resistance in World War II was hailed as heroic. Where are the allies now? We have learned specifically from the Lebanese resistance that Israel does not cede one single inch without the resistance. So the resistance and its tools are non-negotiable. Yes, even for us, the resistance and its tools are above party politics. They will never be relinquished. The old adage once more resounds loud and clear. No power on earth can douse the flame of the human spirit. As long as there is suppression, there will always be people ready to die on their feet rather than live on their knees. Now, we've been discussing land theft, and however egregious this activity is, there is one aspect of the occupation which is even more unethical and inhuman that needs a special mention, and that is the arrest and detention of Palestinian children. You do not have to be a parent to share this view. You merely have to have a heart that actually beats. Every single family is affected with their loved ones disappearing in Israeli hellholes. 7,000 prisoners, including 359 children, caged. It is the only country in the world that systematically arrests and detains between 500 and 700 people, children, every year, some as young as 10 years old. Although figures for adult imprisonment have reached a plateau at the moment, the kidnapping, detention, and incarceration of our children has more than doubled in recent times. It carries out these arrests under cover of darkness, in the early hours of dawn, when the family is at its weakest, separating the child from his or her parent, cuffing the hands in plastic ties that cut through the skin, blindfolding them before throwing them in the back of a jeep to whisk them off deep inside Israeli territory, which is in contravention of Article 76 of the Fourth Geneva Convention. That child sees no parent, no lawyer, no modicum of justice. 3 out of children are tortured. 40% of children are sexually abused by the IOF. All this to force them to confess to trumped-up charges of stone-throwing, which can carry a sentence of up to 20 years. Even the confessions are written in Hebrew, a language that is foreign to our children. Leaving the EU aside for a minute, I'd like to highlight this here country's shameful Balfourian stance and its role in creating and maintaining this grave injustice, which spelled the dispossession of 13 million Palestinian refugees. Britain, and if I may stress, not so great Britain, is the author of our tragedy. Countless representatives and MPs from this country have visited the occupied territories over the years, and yes, they have claimed to be stunned, shocked, bewildered, and appalled at the unfathomable rate of crimes perpetrated against my people. And yet, with all this indignation gets touted about for PR purposes, it is with a singularly hypocritical attitude that Britain resumes being Israel's friend, chanting mantra-like that Israel has a right to defend itself, even as it carries out its regular lawn mowing every few years, a euphemism for pulverizing Gaza to kingdom come. Endless representations are made in Parliament, something I refer to as paper shuffling. We have seen through Al Jazeera's expose, the lobby, how Zionized the British Parliament is. Up to date, absolutely nothing has been done to condemn this. The matter was deemed closed, both by Theresa May and Boris Johnson. Shame on this government and all who support it. Mere barbarians in several row suits that bow and scrape and fawn at Israel's feet. Shame on this government for failing to undo its war crime of gifting my country to another people. For a war crime it was, is, and will carry on being until Britain sees the light and decides to finally join us on the right side of history. Enough pussyfooting around. While the BDS movement is thankfully growing exponentially, it is high time that the European Union takes its gloves off and imposes sanctions on that pariah state in no uncertain terms. That is the only thing that's going to make Israel sit up and take notice. Although Palestine lacks leadership, it has been amply proven that it garners people's support around the world. It is at once heartening and dispiriting that when an offensive like the last one, Protective Edge, takes place, hundreds and thousands take to the street in protest. Once Palestine recedes from the headlines, however, It is totally tragic beyond measure that people mindlessly drop back in their comatose state of apathy. For any real shift to take place, people need to commit their solidarity as a way of life, not just as a seasonal activity. As to our own remit, it is time to own and reclaim our narrative, make it perfectly clear that we are here. What we are after is liberation, not another half-baked peace process. And due to more freedom of movement, is it up to the Palestinians in the diaspora to mobilize, organize, and implement our God-given right to sovereignty and a life of freedom and dignity. One democratic state, one man, one vote, right of return, compensation and restitution is the order of the day. No one under the sun can argue with this. It is extremely simple. Three syllables. Equal rights. Thank you.